Hello, hello. It's Luis and Pacha, correct?
Yes.
I was prepped, I will say. I was prepped. Can you tell me, Pacha, can you tell me what your actual first name is?
My first name is Pataratisha.
I love it. Okay, let's get started, you guys. So you guys are in sub two. How long have you been in sub two?
We joined in June 2023.
Oh my gosh. So it's been about a year.
Yes.
9 months, yeah.
Almost, yes.
How did you find you?
So I was a big Bigger Pockets guy. I was always watching Bigger Pockets, and one day Pace came on, and then my life changed.
So Pace came on to just talk about, what did he talk about? Like, what did he say that you were like, that's it, that's the guy I want to go hang out with? Who is it? You know?
Yeah, he talked about Sub 2
Right.
and raps. And I remember actually at the time I was also following Ron LeGrand. He's a big Subject 2 guy.
Ron LeGrand.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, but then there's a community here. So I was
Right.
like, I want to chase that.
Right.
Yeah. Now, you were there, but Pasha wasn't there.
Oh, we both together,
Yeah,
actually. Yeah.
you were there. Okay. And so, because a lot of times you guys, people will be like, I was there without my wife or without my spouse. And then I came home and I had all these crazy ideas, and they were like, who are you and who's this crazy Pace Morby guy? But that's not you guys, right?
that's what I love about my wife. I bring all the crazy ideas. Every day there's 10 crazy ideas. My wife usually knocks down nine, but one goes through. And one of them was this goes up too.
I love that. Oh my gosh. So I guess you're saying basically their main reason for joining was the community, basically, because you're like, hey, I can learn creative finance. Creative finance education is out there, but for you, it was the community of other people to join and network with and be a part of an actual community, right?
Right.
And how would you guys describe that so far? Like your friends or the people you've met with in sub two, is it what you were looking for? What have those relationships been like so far?
So actually, we do the same thing. We do on like Leo's desk. So actually, we met some people that do the same thing. That's what we're growing. So we are here in Houston. Actually, we went like every single week that we joined the like power hours. So, they have some of like opportunity and new people coming and they do the same thing. So,
I love that. Houston's a hard market.
yeah, and we've
Yeah.
closed six wraps. Shout out to Kevin Cho.
Yes.
And
Six wraps? You have six wraps right now in Houston?
yep. And Kevin Cho did five for us. So,
Right.
and we did a subject two, which we'll talk about. And we have another subject to under contract.
Right.
That's amazing. And so in a year, you've done all of that in your first year, which you guys, a lot of people sit and flounder around for a year. So you guys got straight to business, it sounds like. It's Pacha. He's going to point to you. He's like, she got straight to business. Yeah. So what were you guys doing before this? Like, were you in real estate or what were you doing before this?
His breakout doctor, actually. I mean, back to 2017 that we just moved to Texas. We was living in New York, over there kind of like going on like cannot do anything about it. But when we move here, I'm looking for like challenging and opportunity to do it. So we jump into the Leo said the first house that we got is for the rental already. So we keep doing that and then we fall sub too. So
Yeah, basically we're doing fix and flips with the Burr method. We use the hard money lenders. She would fix everything, and I'm just more like the finance guy, the numbers guy, but she's the one that makes it happen.
so we have project manager, probably designer. I feel like you're probably really savvy. I feel like I should hire you to probably get my wardrobe going, Papa. Is that
Yes, I mean, I would love to make it happen. That's what the way I'm doing. Kind of like, he give me an idea, and I just like see that how I can do it, like find a
I
way to
literally
do
came one day and said, "Hey, do you want to like flip a house? We could buy it. You could put a lipstick on it, and you could sell it, and then that's it."
Are you doing this across the country? Or are you trying to stay in Texas's market?
Yeah, Southeast Texas.
Sorry, Texas.
Yeah, which for me, you guys, Texas has high taxes. They've got high property insurance. So to do it successfully there, like I would feel like that's a strong market for you guys because you know it well enough to actually make money there.
Right. So actually, we buy for assets on the property to flip it, we buy lower than 70%. So that's what our game plan.
Yeah. Well, that just means you're a good negotiator. Which one of you is the negotiator?
Yes, only me.
The deals happen. I don't know. She gets on the phone and convinces people. I'm amazed. I'm more like, I just tell her, hey, Pacha, I think we need to negotiate this price. And then she goes, makes it happen.
She's like, this is what I got to work with. You probably try and shoot under that first. Huh? You're going to get a lower price than that.
I negotiate with everybody.
Like, I give her a number and then she comes below me. Like, I think we should offer 110. She's like, no, 80.
80?
Yeah.
That's what you're going to get in the middle. And anyway, he thought like 110 is enough. I said like 80. So they're going to come 90 or something. So we're in the middle.
Yeah. So where you guys are now, I heard you say you have 6 wraps. You have a couple of fix and flips under your belt as well.
Yes.
And simultaneously, you're also under contract on a subject to property that you will wrap, or you're going to keep it and buy it as a long-term?
Yeah, we tried to wholesale that one.
Okay, look at that. Throwing in, you guys are, so I guess, what is your goal? Do you guys want to just kind of stay in the real estate space and do everything you can, or do you want to focus on something specific?
So actually, like now, we love Sub2Do because, to be honest, like the interest is so high right now. We got like cheap ledge here, and the people who need help for some point to, you know, to save their credit and, you know, through to that process. So that what we got to help people too. So I'm doing this up till now for sure.
That is really interesting. So, and for me, the reason I love creative finance a lot is because we can do different things than other real estate professionals. So we can come into distressed seller situations and help somebody out of a scenario that otherwise in traditional sales circumstances, it wouldn't work out. And so one of the number one questions I get all the time from whether it's real estate agents who don't do these types of transactions often or attorneys or brokers is, why would a seller want to sell like that? Right? Why would a seller want to do that? So in your guys' instance, what are some scenarios you've had with sellers that you feel like has been, this is it? Because I feel like I hear it coming from you guys where you're like, I just love doing these things because the people we can help and the stories we've heard. So if you want to share some of those scenarios, I'd love to hear it because that's my favorite part.
Talk about Fairfield.
Well, that one, we got one partner that actually, he do donuts here. He's a good, door knocking. So we got that one.
It was his first door knock.
Yeah.
He's a 19-year-old kid. His name's Caleb Daniels. He joined Sub2 and Gator, and he went on his first door knock mission. And I kid you not, he called me. I don't know why he called me. He called me. He said, Luis, I have a hot lead. Come right now. And I dropped what I did, and I went there, and we negotiated with the seller, and we got under contract. That same day, it was the first door knock.
Right.
Oh my gosh. And so now are you partnered up with him and he likes to just call you every time he gets something now? And he's like, you guys are...
Well, the thing is, like, I was so nice. I was like, listen, you brought me the deal. I'm going to give you the equity of this Sub2.
Right.
Let's do it, brother. And then he did it. And then we rehabbed it.
Right.
We only spent like $5,000. Mm-hmm. We did it in 2 weeks. And then we rented for $1,700.
Right.
And our payment is about $890.
Right.
That is amazing, you guys. I love these stories. So for you, what really, obviously helping other community members, that's what I heard you say right there, like being able to help someone who's 19 years old just getting into this, that's very fulfilling. What do you feel like your why is? What makes you want to continue to do this?
People around here, I don't know, like he's trying to get more, like that one we got another contract to, but we tried to wholesale. I think because of help people and the interest is cheaper and it's a good opportunity to, you know, get the property. Actually, it's not like just a flip deal. So that's how that we got is completely renovated already. That's why we just put a little money in there to flip it back. So that's why I love it, because some of the property that I buy as flip, so I have to put a lot of money to flip it back to look nice to rent it. But some for Sub2Do is kind of like easy to cosmetic.
Audio commercial, get creative for sub 2 students to join pacescommunity.com. Hey, while you're listening to this episode, do you ever think, man, I'm sick of everybody else winning at the game of real estate using all these creative finance strategies that Pace has obviously taught them? They've obviously joined a community of people that are collaborating, helping each other, being go-givers, meeting up in person, going on appointments with each other, showing each other how their businesses work, and filling all the gaps of understanding in each other's brains? Well, if you are ready to make a change in your business and actually get the traction that you've been praying for, hoping for, thinking about, and making goals all around, the best way to do that is join a community of people helping people. Go to joinpacescommunity.com.
Yeah, and then you can just hold on to it with that low interest rate loan and continue to make money off of it. Yeah. So when you guys, coming from the Burr strategy, obviously that, and that's...
When interest rates were 4%.
Well, wait, yeah, everything fast.
That was a, I feel like we had like a good year where Burr strategy made sense. And then after that year, it was like, okay, never again. That's not going to make sense again. So I'm sure you're still holding on to some of those, right? That you had, that you did the Burr strategy with. So when you figured this out, you figured this strategy out and you're like, this is what we're going to do. The intent has always been to hold them. But now I'm hearing you say, now you could even wholesale them because you're like, hey, this one might not perfectly work for us, but there's a spread here in equity because Pacha is such a crazy negotiator that she can just get things down to whatever price she thinks of in her head.
She negotiates with Home Depot. She kids you not. She goes to Home Depot. Like, no, I'm not going to pay that. I'm going to not. Like, she gets good deals with like,
yeah, now everybody remember me because I'll negotiate.
So, Pacha, I love this so much because I have a girl on my team. Her name's Heidi. She's from El Salvador. And she is my negotiating master. Like, she will go back to, it doesn't matter who it is. It's if it's an HOA, if it's somebody that gets put a fine on one of our houses, she will go and, like, magically make that fine disappear. So I feel like you have that magic strategy as well. Do you feel like that's something that you grew up with, or is that something you developed over time?
Well, actually, my background is I'm a marketing director. I'm worked at the bank before, and that's what my gift, because I love when, you know, since I'm a little girl, like, I try to negotiate with everything. So every single thing. Yeah.
I love that so much. So obviously I know some things, I mentioned them to you guys a minute ago about how people sometimes ask about subject to, when you guys switched to doing this type of real estate investing, did you have other people that knew you be like, what, why would you do that? Are you sure you can do that? Did you have people question you?
Well, actually not really, because,
They know we got crazy ideas. I mean, Burr knows if it's crazy for here, you know, like in the middle of Texas, they're like, what, a flip?
Well,
you're using our money,
like, yeah.
Even for that, people are like very risk averse. So I don't know. We're in a different category.
Yeah, actually, though.
I do feel like there's definitely some misconceptions, though. I feel like a lot of people come into these kinds of transactions and they think like somebody's out to get them. I've had a lot of sellers who like didn't think we would actually close on the deal. So they got under contract and they'd never heard of this strategy before. And so they're kind of just sitting there waiting for the hammer to drop for it to be like, ha ha, it was just a kid. It was just joking. You know, it wasn't real, you know? Do you feel like you've ran into those same types of misconceptions? Are there other things that you feel like people have misunderstood about subject to?
Not really, but normally when we talk about sub two, everybody knew about it already. I think you guys do really, very big.
I think the Houston community is so big that yeah. You guys are, everybody knows of sub two here.
Yeah. So like
everybody knows about it.
Yeah. So we talk about it. Everybody know about it already. So they know what like they do, but they don't know how to get in it. Actually, like they don't know how to, you know, work with it. So.
So even your guys as sellers, or are you mainly buying deals from other people in the community?
Yeah. We're looking to buy it too. Yes.
So are you, but you do negotiate directly with sellers. Did I hear that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So when you guys are talking to sellers, what's like the most common questions that you're getting, or you feel like it's pretty easy to talk about subject to, or how does those conversations typically go?
Well, actually normally like how to help them, like what I'm bringing to.
It's finding the bunnies.
It's what I wanted you to say. So Pacha, how do you find those bunnies though? What are you asking them? Are you like, what's the story? Are you going after a specific type of home that's in, like, it doesn't look like it's in good condition, or what are you guys looking for?
Well, for me, actually, like, the first thing that I look is area. So when I go to see, not every single one that's up to that I get. I mean, I have to look at the area, how much rental comes, and how much the value of the price, and how much they own, how much we have to pay to close the deal. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, one of my most interesting things that I had to learn when coming into this space is not to negotiate on purchase price necessarily, more so to negotiate on what their needs are and what that entry fee is, right? And so a lot of people get really stuck on that. I need $400,000. And it's like, okay, I hear you saying that, but what does that actually mean? Because you have an underlying mortgage, you have all these things. Does that mean you need a down payment for a new house? Does that mean you need a new car? Does that mean you need money to move out? What does it mean? And what are you actually looking forward to moving into your next life? It seems like you have mastered your ability to find what they need so you can get to the number that you need to make the deal make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is literally such an art that, and the fact that you have done so many deals within your first year.
We're still learning. I feel like I'm still learning.
Yeah, so. We still learn it.
Oh, every deal. Or is any deal the same?
No, not the same.
No. Yeah, sometimes take longer. Sometimes close faster.
Yeah. No deal is ever the same. No seller is ever the same. Do you guys go for pre-foreclosures or do you just, yeah. So those are way crazy usually. Do you have any stories you want to share?
I think one of the first flip, but that was the pre-foreclosure. I think bank took over already. That one we have to negotiate with the bank. So that's the fun part, because the bank asked of the full price that what they had with the last owner, and they come up with a number. So I think they asked 135, and I offered 80. They come up 110, and then I'll tell them 97. So we close 97.
And so you were negotiating directly with the bank to buy it for cash.
Right. Yeah, that was the REO.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was one of the first deals we did.
That is so good. So that's intimidating too. I think a lot of people don't understand, especially when you're first getting into real estate, that you can even do something like that. That you could go back to a bank and negotiate with a bank. Because they have to weigh their risks on if they went to auction or if they went somewhere else and put it on the market, they risk somebody else coming in at a lower rate anyway. So if they can just get it out of the way, negotiate with you, have a guaranteed sale, it might be worth the risk for them to not take that risk, you know?
Right.
That is phenomenal. Now, subject to deals though, have you bought a pre-foreclosure subject to deal yet?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Fairfield deal.
Yeah, the Fairfield deal.
So for her, you know, we negotiated, we talked to her, we tried to create a relationship. We finally gave her some cash. We gave her a secondary promissory note.
Yeah.
And then we took over her payments and she was very happy.
Yeah. And you know, what I found, the reason I ask about that is because probably the people who have benefited the most as far as sellers go have usually been those that have been in pre-foreclosure. Because otherwise, especially with the market where it is right now, they have a ticking time bomb going off until that auction arrives. So they don't usually have time to list it. The bank occasionally isn't willing to work with them for them to try and list it because the bank will just go to foreclosure and put it in an auction anyways. And in addition to that, if you can come in and reinstate their loan and get everything going again, they don't have to have that on their credit. They don't have to have a foreclosure on their record. And so really a win-win for everyone. The bank gets made whole. The seller then goes on to not have a foreclosure on their record and everyone gets to win in that situation. And a lot of times you can negotiate it where, like you said, you put some equity in a second position lien, you get the entry fee that you want so that you can get in for a low dollar amount and you get a lower interest rate loan that you can take over the payments on. So it's just, honestly, for a long time, I was like the same boat as a lot of these other traditional real estate professionals are like subject to is weird. This isn't like how, when Pace first started talking to me about it, I was like, this is crazy. There's no way that people can do this. And then I realized all of these things. Like there is nobody that could convince me that this isn't a good strategy to use, not for everyone, but for a good portion of sellers that are out there that traditional selling doesn't work for them. And they shouldn't have to sacrifice the price that they want to get for their house just because they need to sell quickly, right? And so this is a way to give people what they need and what they want in two different ways. So, well, you guys have been such a joy. I honestly, is there anything that you feel like you would like to share with people who are maybe curious about subject to, curious about the community, or some learning lessons that you've had along the way before we jump?
There's so many, like, I feel like when Pace says, be a cockroach, I feel like I am that. I call. I don't stop calling people.
He did.
And then I turn it over to her so she can negotiate. But I love to call people randomly and get them on the phone and be like, hey, do you want to buy my deal or do you want to get under contract? So that'd be one.
Be persistent is what I hear you saying. So persistence will get you exactly what you want in this space. And it's you have such a beautiful combination between the two of you, because I'm sure it's like you can be persistent in the line of defense, and then Pacha can come in and close everything up and get everything moving along, and then project manage the entire deal afterward.
Yes.
Yep.
You're a lucky man.
But what I like about my wife is that she entertains my crazy ideas. I feel like other people would just shoot it down completely. At least listens to me and be like, all right, let's make it happen.
Well, it sounds like you had a lot of other crazy ideas before this, and this was the crazy idea.
Believe me, he did. So I have to like, this one not good, this one good, this is keep going, this is not good. So I let him try everything, actually. So when he brings up to us, it's like, okay, you don't have to keep watching him. You have to
She warned me. She's like, stop watching Pace videos. Just take action.
Yes, just go to whatever they are. Yeah,
make it happen.
Seriously. He keep watching on the TV maybe a couple months before he joins up to. I said, like, why do you keep looking at him? Go to see him. Talk to them, whatever people are, just get to know them. And then you realize that's good. If good, continue it. So that's what it is. And it's good, so you keep continuing it.
That is the best recommendation I've ever heard anybody give. I actually heard on a podcast the other day, someone was like, taking action isn't watching a podcast. Taking action isn't reading a podcast.
She doesn't watch anything, by the way. She doesn't watch, I don't think she's watched a single page.
Well, actually...
I'm the one who just watches it. My Pacha.
Because he watching a lot of things. So it's not like just only Pace. Like he watching something and he bought it to me. And I just said like, okay. But he watched Pace all the whole time. Like after work, before go work, kind of like that. It's like he into it. I said like, if you into it, why you not make it happen? Just do it. Just go through it.
That is so amazing. I don't know if we could end on a better note than that, because that is the epitome of it, right? Stop just watching. Go take action. Just listen to Pacha. You don't, why are you still watching? Stop watching. Go take action.
Pacha, tell the audience.
Guys, from now on, you have to stop watching me. Just go.
You guys have been the best. Seriously, what a power couple. I'm so excited to see where you guys go. If you ever need anything, you know where I'm at. Let me know, because I'm always down to help you guys too. It sounds like you have a great crew around you, that you've made a wonderful set of friends that you have here in the community to do a lot of deals with. So you guys are going to kill it. I have no doubt that you guys are going to do whatever you put your mind to.
I would like to also shout out Andrew Ragia, Regina White, Jeff Smith, George Paredes. Mm-hmm. They've been instrumental. Right. They've been instrumental in our
supporter. Yeah.
I mean, every little question. I mean, I know, like, I ask him annoying, which I think is annoying questions for them, but like it in the middle of the deal, like it becomes like essential. Like, hey, you know, like, and it's great to have that community.
Right. Yeah. So like they help each other. That's why I love it.
Yeah. Well, now you guys can become that resource. I heard you already say that. You have this 19-year-old kid that you've become a resource for. Now they're going to call you. And Luis, I'm sure you will not think that their questions are annoying, right?
Right.
No, everyone's here to learn. Everyone's here to grow together. And that's the best part about this community.
Right.
Yeah. All right, you guys. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to meet with me today. It was such a pleasure to meet you both.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Molly. I appreciate to meet you too.